Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser. If you're listening and you're wondering, where's Charles Robinson? He joined us earlier this week on Tuesday. So if you missed that conversation, check it out. Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast. Charles will be back with us next Thursday at his regular time, but had some scheduling conflicts this week and had to go earlier this week with Charles. So we had that conversation on Tuesday. Joe, before we get back into the Titans and the offensive line conversation we were having earlier, Keiser, can you play that clip from Rappaport that you just played in the update there about Trey Hendrickson? I want to make sure I heard what I think I heard there, and then we'll respond to it.
That deal has not come about. They have tried. Plenty of people have talked. There has been for sure interest. That trade has not happened yet, in part because the Bengals don't really want to trade him. They want to keep him. They want him to be happy. They want him to get a number he wants, and they want him to play for them.
The Bengals want, Joe, Trey Hendrickson to be happy, and they want him to get a number that he wants. Well, by God, if you want him to get a number that he wants, this thing should be done a long time ago. That's the dumbest update I think I've ever heard from Ian Rappaport. They want to make sure he gets the number that he wants. Well, that could have been done a long time ago.
As long as it's also the number they want, and then it's fine.
Yeah, a nice key part of that left out of there by Rappaport.
How can we make the number you want be actually the number we want?
They want to make sure.
How can we make that happen, Trey?
We'd love to make sure that he gets the number he wants. It's like, okay, well, what's he asking for? Give it to him. Oh, that's not what you want to do, huh? Cool. Great. I mean, what a stupid report that is.
No, 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 Kyle. This is the number you want. Jedi mind trick.
I heard that in the update, and I looked at Nick, and I said, can you bring that up? Like, I have to make sure I heard what I think I just heard.
But
that's par for the course for the Rappaports and the Schefters of the world. I guess that's part of doing business with the big dogs.
Be careful, though. Don't rip them, because Billy from Bellevue's mad at me for ripping McAfee, because he does talk about hockey. So keep that in mind. That's McAfee talks about hockey. Yes.
Measuring so cheek size.
That makes it okay, the other dumb crap he does. Not moving on, Billy.
Shout out to Billy on the text line. So, Joe, we brought this up earlier. A nice piece. Very interesting piece at The Athletic from friend of the show, Mike Sando, who has gone through the different AFC teams and what they've done in free agency and has spoken with NFL executives about that. So some anonymous NFL executives going through each team in the AFC and kind of highlighting and commenting on different moves that were made on free agency. So I saw this come out yesterday and I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder what they said about the Titans. And obviously, the chief signing for the Titans in free agency so far this offseason has been Dan Moore at the left tackle spot. A lot of money. He's getting paid $20 million a year, come in and play left tackle. And we've talked a lot about that contract and that decision to reshuffle the offensive line, have Dan Moore on the left side, moving Latham to the right. They went and got Kevin Zeitler after that, which I think most people would agree is a good move for the Titans. So on the Moore front specifically, here is what one NFL executive said about that move. Quote, would you rather play with Dan Moore or against him? I'm not sure. It's same with the guy in Kansas City got, Jalen Moore. You can pay these guys starter money, but it doesn't mean that they're quality starters. You never want to address a need and still have a need. This from one NFL executive on the Titans signing of Dan Moore. Some pretty harsh words there. Not necessarily a huge fan, this executive, of Dan Moore and what he brings to the table at left tackle for the Tennessee Titans.
No, not at all. Is this a Steelers executive? I want to know. It's always like, who is this saying this stuff? But it's not like it's totally out of bounds stuff either. It's
to really, Ryan Cowden?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know.
After the Titans.
Ryan Cowden, we need to focus. Ryan Cowden needs to focus on how he can help Nolensville football moving forward.
That's true.
It's not like the stuff is terribly out of bounds given performance and other commentary on Dan Moore. There's a lot of totally fair skepticism, I'd say, with him. And you see it here again. So You know, I guess if you're a Titans fan, you almost hope that this is like, or the people are people who hate the Titans or rivals with the Titans or they got some issue in the past of Mike Borgonzi or Chad Brinker or whatever, and that they're just spouting off because they just have a forum here to, not put their names on something and rip people. But I mean, look, it does kind of fall in line with what the guy has done in his career as a left tackle.
Well, yeah, like I don't want to make this more than it is because, executives comment on things all the time in stories like this, Joe, and end up being wrong. So it's not like just because an executive says this means that it's going to work out very poorly for Dan Moore and the Titans here. But to your point, like you brought up similar ideas the day after they signed him here that we talked about with Dan Moore. And we have seen some times in the past, like you brought up the Caleb Farley example earlier where in the immediate aftermath of the Titans drafting Caleb Farley, one of the executives around the league in a story like this talked about how the medical on Farley was atrocious and that they wouldn't draft him. And we spent a lot of time on this show talking about that. So, again, I don't want to put too much weight into what some anonymous executive in the NFL says, but it is interesting like to hear that thought on Dan Moore of, and I don't really know if you'd rather have that guy on your team or if you'd be playing against him. Rather have him playing against him. That's a interesting way to put it.
Yeah. Hey, if I could, can you draft a player that you could just have as your constant opponent? Like this could be my left tackle we face every week. Boy, that'd be.
Wow, the Titans have gone up against Andre Dillard 16 weeks in a row. It's unbelievable.
My goodness. They've doubled the NFL record for sacks. This is incredible. Yeah,
Arden Key is going to get a huge contract. Good gracious!
Who knew that? We talk about LT, and now we have to talk about AK.
That's
Arden
right.
Key is the same level of all time great defensive player. Yeah, it's one of those things that there's reasons to believe that Dan Moore has gotten better, improved, went against really good players. In the division he was in, I've heard all that. There are some underlying numbers in terms of pressures allowed and things like that that certainly would speak to improvement. So how is this exec reacting to the overall career? Which I don't think there's any way you can spin the overall career of Dan Moore. Or did he watch him as closely this last year? Did he not detect the improvement that the Titans must have detected if they were going to give him this contract?
It's a very interesting question. Bottom line is, when you look at the revamped offensive line, there's a lot of pressure on Dan Moore to work out left tackle. Because if you've plugged one hole at right tackle, which I think we both feel like that the Titans have by going over to, Latham going over to the right side and you feel good about that spot, well, that's great. But if your left tackle still isn't good, then that's a problem at that point. And a problem that's not going anywhere. They're paying him a lot of money. So we'll see what that ends up looking like. Some other comments from this piece by Sando on the Titans as it relates to the number one overall pick that I want to get to coming up next. We'll take your thoughts and questions on the Titans at 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. It is time for the 4th Annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we'll be back at Hermitage Golf Course coming up on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Reacting to a piece from Mike Sando at an NFL executive talking about the signing of Dan Moore, and says, quote, "Would you rather play with Dan Moore or against him? I'm not sure. You never want to address a need and still have a need." Justin from Greenbrier, Joe, on the text line says, "This phantom executive can just go pound sand." Nice touch. As long as Moore improves the offensive line over the turnstiles we've had on the line the past three seasons, I'm happy with it. The Titans are the worst team in the NFL, for crying out loud. If they paid a guy that much to hopefully improve their basement status, then you should be happy. Stupid people with their stupid opinions. This from Justin from Greenbrier on the text line. Joe, your thoughts? Justin's fired up.
Wow. Pound sand using a Robbie Stanley term. Yeah, well, look, fight for your guy. Dan Moore is your guy. Now, granted, you know, he hasn't done any interviews because the Titans have, hid him from the public, you know, since signing him. So, which is a really weird
speaking
thing.
Speaking of phantoms.
Can we keep bringing up? But it's very weird. Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, they were as bad as you can get. So, I think that the fair that Justin's trying to get at here and the fair response is, okay, well, you can say you hate to address a need and still have a need. Yeah. But what are the alternatives right now? And when you look at the entire picture of everything, the Titans are not, they're not taking, an offensive tackle at the top of this draft, right? I mean, you could, but
I would be stuck.
When you realistically looked at the entire picture, you had to do whatever you could do in free agency. And they're just, obviously the Tunsil there is mentioned in terms of a trade, but you're very low on options. You very rarely see good tackles get to free agency, which again is kind of sobering when you look, but again, when it comes down to, we must address this in free agency in some way, this is probably about as well as you could do.
So another comment in this piece from Sando regarding the Titans and the number one overall pick is interesting. And I would assume this is from a different executive. It says, quote, "There's no way the Titans aren't picking Cam Ward. They're trying to drum up an extraordinary deal, but no one is going to give them that. They'll take Cam Ward unless someone gives them something stupid," which is an interesting quote there from an executive talking about the Titans trying to drum up and manufacture some extraordinary deal here. Joe, number one, your thoughts on that. And number two, if you're a Titans fan and you hear that, and you hear that no one is going to give them some extraordinary deal, how does that influence how you view the Titans standing pat and selecting Cam Ward at one? I guess what I mean by that is, if nobody else around the league, and it ends up playing out this way, views Cam Ward as somebody that's worth trying to move heaven and earth to go get, how does that influence the way you view selecting him if you're a Titans fan?
Yeah, it's a good question. First of all, that quote, I don't know that I could construct a better quote than that. I totally agree with that exec. Everything he said, they're gonna take him, they're hoping there's some interest. Your buddy Rappaport will fire off another tweet at some point. The Titans are still, they're not decided, everybody.
I think I'm team Jordan Schultz after that stupid report that Rappaport just had about the Bengals.
Oh, I already have been. And then the last part of the quote, they're going to take Cam Ward unless someone gives us something stupid. Totally agree. And they won't get it, and they'll take him. So how should you feel as a Titans fan? You should feel how the Titans do. You know what? Which is, God, I hope this guy's good. Because that's what they're going to say after they pick him is, of course, that all roads led to this, and this was a consensus, and everybody agreed, and this is the guy, and he's the number one player in the draft. And that's what you say. That's what they're going to say. To some degree, that's roughly what they're going to say. That's what every team does, but you look at the whole thing and it's clear that that's not the case. And so you're going to be just like the Titans, hope like hell that he puts it all together. He's got a lot of talent. He could do it for sure. Way, lesser prospects than him have become stars in this league. Way higher ranked prospects than him have been complete flops. So we'll find out.
Are you on the trade front? I guess I'm thinking it to move up to number one overall. Do those deals ever really happen on draft day? Like, did the when you're moving up to the number one pick, like, I feel like the Titans moving out of one with the Rams happened well in advance.
It did.
Of the draft.
That one, yeah, that one happened well in advance for sure. When did the
I think Carolina and Chicago Carolina. Happened well in advance of the draft. Yeah.
But it was it not like the week of? I could be wrong about that.
It was in March. It was March the 10th. Oh,
okay.
So you're March talking 10th. About a month and a half before the draft.
Okay. Now, again, so I was close, week of, or 7 weeks before.
Well, right, just because it's been that way in two recent examples doesn't mean it has to be that way every time. But I guess that is kind of eye-opening a little bit, Joe, of, like, if there's going to be a move up to number one overall, like, it seems to me like teams that want to do that, they want to get in there early and make sure that they're ready to move up and go get their guy at that point.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's kind of – it's like the process they talk about, right? This whole we're going to be disciplined, and then as soon as we get to the certain point, then we'll all come together, and it's like, okay, let's put it all on the table. Who is it? You know, and now we can start talking about this stuff. I almost feel like it's also when you get to that point is when you also either, okay, are we going to try to make this move, or okay, then boom, but here's our board. This is what we're doing. Now draft day trades happen, of course, but yeah, I'd love to know that. The latest we've seen trades for, like, the top overall pick, because it's such a big move. It requires such an investment. And again, like, both sides of it are, like, one side giving up so much and going up there, and then the other side, it's like, man, do you want to give up that top pick? It's a really interesting thing. So I feel like once you get to the point of, I guess what they're saying is, like, next week, right? If it doesn't happen right around then, why would we think that all of a sudden it's going to happen like the day before or on draft day?
It's hard. It's hard to get there.
It's hard to buy it.
Like, you know, it's new. I mean, I guess if you're like the Giants or somebody, could you in theory hold out your best possible offer until the very last second? I guess. But like to me, like if you're wanting to ensure, like if you're motivated enough to move up to number one at some point, then wouldn't you be motivated to get it done to make sure you have that guy that you're looking for? Like, I kind of feel like if there's not a deal here pretty soon in the next few days and into next week, then the Titans are just going to be at number one.
Yeah, and if you're the Titans and that were the case, and all of a sudden they come with like this totally different offer, I'd also be like, dude, if you told me this 2 weeks ago, we would have been prepared for all the things now we have to adjust to in the draft. But, you know, you couldn't have called me, you know, on April 2nd,
right?
April 3rd told me this. Why all of a sudden? Yeah. So, unfortunately, as much as we want to help the NFL and push hard on the idea that there could be some drama here with this thing, that's I would like someone to do that. I'd like to actually deputize Stilley and say, Stilley, I know you're hate listening right now. Go out and find us all the number one pick trades and when the dates were. That research.
How about this? So Vengen,
say it on your show, and we'll take that segment.
Vengen just sent me this on this was from March 17th, so St. Patty's Day, a couple of weeks ago, that Schefter put out there. It says, so far there have been no trades involving first-round picks in the 2025 NFL draft. This is the closest to the start of the draft in which there have been no trades for a first-round pick since 1993, when 5 days before that year's draft, the Chiefs traded a first-round pick to the 49ers in exchange for Joe Montana. How about that?
Wow.
So we're already deep into the process here, and that's not just, you know, specifically referring to number one picks. That's referring to no first-round trades in general.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
Like the top of the draft, I think we could say, well, it's because, like, the quarterbacks at the top of this draft are not, like, quarterbacks at the top of the draft in the good years, right? But overall, what does it mean?
What does it all mean?
Right now, we would be having this segment with Charles, and we could ask him, but we already had it.
It's true. Philip says, what percentage of input do you guys believe is going into the free agency picks and draft picks between Borgonzi, Brinker, and the coaching staff? That isn't it. I mean, look, when you have this many people in the organization, Joe, That is an interesting question. I guess my answer to that would be, I still believe, like, the football czar, Chad Brinker, probably ultimately has final say over all of it. But as far as divvying up percentages there, specifically between Borgonzi and Brinker, that's going to be interesting. Like, I would say the coaching staff, my answer to that would be way less of a percentage than the other two.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. And like we were talking about earlier in the show, McKenzie and Ziegler are accomplished, experienced guys who are in there too.
Yep.
You know, we've talked about Diana Rossini's report on someone in the building wanting to trade the pick. We are going to have Diana, by the way, on Monday.
Yep.
To talk about that too, and maybe she has an idea on like how it's all. But it is cooks all over that kitchen, right? Cooks, yep, all over that kitchen, and how it all, you know, does it all just funnel to Brinker? Is Brinker kind of staying out of it? Like, I mean, that's how he's framed it, right? Like, you're the guy. This is a real GM. And then how much do those guys, does Borgonzi lean on those guys?
615-737-1025, our phone number. More to get to on the Titans front coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. The NCAA men's basketball tournament, which Joe Rex Road allegedly is headed to later today. We'll have updates on those throughout the weekend, presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by TheNewCumberland.com, Twin Peaks, and Bet365. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trevor wondering if how much the general manager, referring to Borgonzi, being in year one on the job and wanting to get as much info before pulling the trigger on a possible trade may be playing into this for the Titans. Maybe. Like, that's what the company line has been, Joe. And we talked about that with Kuharski yesterday, of discipline. Like, they're trying to bring the disciplined approach here to their draft process. I guess beyond their approach, my question about it has now moved from, like, beyond the Titans' approach. What about everybody else's approach? Like, is there another team out there that's actually willing to give up draft capital and future assets that are necessary and are sufficient for you to make a deal at that point? And that's where I guess I'm starting to run into some doubts on that front.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be, at this point, someone coming with, and obviously we don't know what has been discussed. I have no doubt that deals have been discussed between the Titans and other teams, but based on everything we know about these prospects and where things are, it'd be very surprising if a team suddenly just decided to produce this magical deal that you can't possibly refuse. What information that wasn't already available is going to prompt a team to do that? You know, again, I get waiting to some extent, but again, even if you're like a team, let's say you are a team who really does like the Saints, you're the Saints and you do really love Cam Ward. The reason I think these deals happen, you know, early sometimes, because you're like, well, we're going to get out in front of this in case, you know, the Giants change their mind or whatever it is, you know? And I don't see it happening. Whatever the Titans have heard or whatever they understand might be available for them, I don't see how there's all of a sudden going to be this huge jump in value.
So
between,
Joe,
now and the draft.
Since we became a program in October of 2020 officially, every year around draft time, friend of the show, Bruce Feldman, comes out with his mock draft. And it's a different style of mock draft because it's, you know, it's going through the draft order that of what he thinks is going to happen. But coupled with it is he's talking to, like, players, coaches in college, and more, kind of getting more background on some of these players from guys and coaches who have actually gone against these people. So, for instance, he's got Cam Ward going number one overall to the Titans. There's a lot in here that's really interesting about Ward and Sanders and Travis Hunter. I encourage people to check it out at The Athletic. I guess it's Athletic Day here on the program, Joe, because I'm just coming up with all this stuff.
There we go.
But they've got, like, there's one comment here on Cam Ward from a defensive coordinator in the ACC that says, "I know guys at Miami, they love that kid. They really love him. He's an alpha. great leader, competitive, and that stuff usually works in the NFL. Another DC said, or the same DC said, a lot of his throws are backyard football stuff. We tried to force him to play more in the pocket. He was so frustrating to play against because he can really extend plays. And the article kind of goes through Cam Ward, some of his strengths, his weaknesses. There's a head coach in the ACC that kind of points out both the strengths and weaknesses in his game, talking about the arm talent is there, but he's really high risk, high reward. He had some interceptions last year that were just dropped by other teams, which we've talked about early in the draft process. So the Feldman piece here is interesting to get like the coach's perspective from people who have played and schemed against Cam Ward.
Yeah, and you know, Bruce, proud Miami alum that he is, but he's a believer in Cam Ward, and he's definitely a guy who's very plugged in at Miami. But that's also there it is. I mean, there's the downside too, and that's kind of where I am. Again, I'm not saying this is not, you know, Will Levis 2.0, but I think there are some things that it's just, I think it's hard to get it out of somebody's game. Maybe, you know, someone would have to show me an example of someone who played like that. I'm not saying that there isn't an example. I just don't know of one who played like that in college and then like really drastically changed in the NFL. You know, Brett Favre is the best example of like playing like that and great, who cares? Because you're so good, you overcome that stuff. But I think it's hard to get that out of your game. I do. And that's where, and then I just think that he makes incredible throws, but that he misses too many gimmies. You can't miss some of the throws that he misses. And honestly, pro day is what it is, but like there were a few throws where it's like, man, this is your pro day. Like, this is like absolutely the easiest conditions you can possibly have, and he missed a little bit here or there with some of them. All that stuff matters to me.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Like, there's also some comments in here. It's a lot of different thoughts on Shedeur Sanders throughout this, and a lot of it's good, right? Like, he's talking about, you know, his accuracy with the ball and his operation being as smooth as it is, and there's a coach in here talking about Shedeur Sanders throwing a very catchable ball, which is more important than people think. There is one defensive coordinator that says, I think he's got good arm talent, really good poise. I think he's almost too cocky, at least at the college level, where he takes some really bad sacks. Decision-making-wise, I think he thinks he's better than everybody else, and that does help him elevate his game, but it also gets him in some bad situations. And if he doesn't shake that, he's going to take way too many sacks in the NFL. That's what a defensive coordinator in the Big 12 had to say about Shedeur Sanders. What do you think of that?
That's really interesting. I can see that. You know, I do feel like, and I've defended him because I watched a lot. I probably watched 5 or 6 Colorado games last year. And there were just way too many plays where there's at least one leak on the offensive line that's immediate, and he has to just bail out of there and try to play off schedule. It was bad, bad, bad offensive line. But there are definitely some sacks he took too that you're like, man, that's one where you just wing it out of bounds, you know? So can you get that out of your game? Again, I still would opt for the catchable ball is a great point. But again, the accuracy, the on-target throws by Shedeur Sanders are astoundingly high level, terrific, excellent numbers there. And that's what I think. And I think he sees it well. I do. I think that when he had conditions that were okay, you saw quick decisions and ball out quickly and ball out accurately, which is why I like him the best of these quarterbacks. But that's an interesting point. It's like if you are that, you know, confident / cocky, you would think that playing at this level would open your eyes and you know, that you would adjust.
You would think. We'll find out. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Preds pick to click. Coming up next, be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Predators and their game tonight against the Stars, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that coming up next. Wrap up the show with some more thoughts on the Titans front as well. This Saturday, don't miss Nashville Super Speedway's pre-race concert contest. Nashville's next rising star at Dirks Bentley's Whiskey Row from 1 to 5. Contest will be emceed by 102.5 The Game's Big Joe, and special guest DJ Mojo will keep the crowd hyped up all afternoon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight taking on the Dallas Stars. We had a caller on the line that dropped off, so let's open it back up. Be the first caller. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. Joe, the listeners did draw closer last time out in the competition, which means the overall standings are as follows. You are in first place, Joe, with 15 correct answers as the season is winding down. The listeners have now closed the gap to 12, so just three separating you and the listeners. I have seven, which I've had for what seems like half an eternity at this point. And Keezer has four. So Keezer and I out of the competition. It is a nice little race here, potentially, between you and the listeners coming down the stretch. So we'll see what happens on that front. We do have a caller that Keezer is getting on the line here shortly, so we will get to that here in just a second to get Preds Pick to Click. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Colton to the program. Colton, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning, guys. I'm going to go with Forsberg today.
Going with Philip Forsberg. Colton, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Forsberg, the pick. Nick Keezer, you're up first in the competition today. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I'll go with Steven Stamkos.
Going with number 91, Steven Stamkos. Forsberg, Stamkos off the board. Rex wrote your pick to click.
You know, I'd like the listener to have a shot. So I think there are four opportunities, including – actually, after this one, I think there are four opportunities. So let me go with Bellows again until Bellows scores.
Going with Kiefer Bellows, the selection. Give me Michael Bunting. I will take Michael Bunting in the competition for Preds Pick to Click.
Forsberg. Killer Bees.
That's right. Forsberg, Stamkos, Bellows, Bunting, the picks to click here for the Nashville Predators as they take on the Dallas Stars tonight, which, oh boy, hopefully it goes a little better than we saw the other night. I have no idea, by the way, if Matthew Wood is going to play tonight or not. Trotz was on with Stillman a couple of days ago, and he said he feels like Wood's going to join the team today. And he also said that they want to get him some practices in. So I guess my initial guess is that Wood will probably play on Sunday against Montreal after they get a practice in. But we'll see. We'll see if Wood gets in there tonight.
I thought Derek McKenzie sort of confirmed he was playing.
He said I don't know when that first shift will be, and I don't know if he's referring to tonight or Sunday. So I don't know.
At one point later in the interview, he said, "You know, we're trying to put him with some people. You know, help him get the puck tonight." I'm pretty sure he said tonight. So if he does play, then we actually did scoop everybody on that.
Well, that's true. Well, I guess we'll find out. Tune in the pregame show at 6 o'clock tonight, and I'll potentially have an answer for you.
There you go.
So we'll see what happens on that front, Joe. As we wrap up today's edition of the show. You know, it's been interesting to go through the process here today and listen to some of the texts we've got about the potential idea of trading. Like, people keep throwing the Giants out as the trade partner for the Titans. Like, if you're a Titans fan that wants to see a trade and the team move back, the Giants are the name that keeps coming up. And I understand it. I keep going back to, if I'm John Mara, the owner of the Giants, and you've gone out, you've signed Russell Wilson, you've signed Jameis Winston. Again, we've talked about the money. The money doesn't necessarily preclude you from making a move there. But one of the things I'd be asking about if I'm talking with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, their general manager, throughout this process. All right, do you actually love Cam Ward? Like, do you think Cam Ward is legitimate and is the answer that we've been looking for at quarterback? Or are you trying to save your job? Like, I don't know how much of an honest answer you're going to get on that, but that's always what would be in kind of the back of my mind if I'm Mara in this situation, which, by the way, he's partially created by keeping them on and then shortly after making the decision to keep them on, talking about in public with the media of, Yeah, well, things better change around here in a hurry because I'm starting to get impatient. So everybody knows that their jobs are on the line this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really weird situation for sure. If I'm those guys, I'm talking it up. What's the difference anyway? I'm talking it up like everybody's missing. This guy is, or whatever. But look, they may end up taking Shadour. They may end up having shot at Shadour at three, and that may be what they're thinking. They may feel confident that Cleveland won't take him, and Cleveland's going to take Abdul Carter. And so then they can not give anything up and get the guy. But if I'm those guys, I'm talking one or both of them up like, absolutely, these people are missing. This is a real deal. Because otherwise, you're just going to go 7-10 and lose your job this year anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's – if you're them, what do you care if you miss on Cam Ward?
Exactly. I mean, you might get another year out of, you know, people not realizing yet that you missed.
Right.
You know?
The alternative is we're fired after this year anyway, so why do I care?
Right. Yeah, I'd rather absolutely take have that and sort of change the framework of my job this year than like hope that Russ bails me out.
How often do you think decisions like that are made in professional sports? Let's just do it because who cares? If it doesn't work, I'm not going to be here anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think it happens. I guess that's why you fire people, so it doesn't happen. that's a good reason to fire someone so that they don't hoodwink you into making a pick like that. But, yeah, sometimes I think you have to, you have to take a shot. And if I'm Brian Daboll, it's like, what is your value? You know, everybody thought, man, he did an incredible job with Daniel Jones, and that quickly faded. So that's what he's supposed to be, just like Brian Callahan.
Joe, that's going to do it for you this week here on the program. You'll be back on Monday as you're headed to San Antonio, allegedly.
Hopefully.
Tonight, and working at the Final Four. So we'll see you on Monday.
Sounds good, but I will have my picks in. Don't you worry.
Yes, you will. Get those picks in. Kuharsky will be with me on the program tomorrow. We'll have a lot of things to get into on the Titans front with him. We'll see if at 7 o'clock I can stop he and Stilley from killing each other. So we'll see how that goes on my standpoint.
Good luck with that.
Be weather aware today. Obviously some flooding concerns in our area, so we'll keep you updated as best we can throughout the day here on this station on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe coming up next.